Issues, Etc., regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues, Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues, Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues, Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues, Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. 300.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us. That is to say, LGBT people. But they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, Etc.
Well, this is perhaps where pastors don't get it. And I speak as a pastor. It's very difficult to get it. On Sunday morning, what is worship like for those who gather? Say you still go to one of those churches that celebrate Sunday morning the way Christians have for two millennia with the historic liturgy, authentic Christian worship. We'd like to think that everybody's paying close attention, that they're all of the right frame of mind, that their mind is on what is being said, that their ears are open to what's being said. But if I think back to my childhood experience, my experience even of a couple of weeks ago sitting in the pew with my wife, I don't know if that's true. Does that mean that God's word isn't doing its thing on Sunday morning if I'm a bit distracted? We're going to be talking about Jesus amid distractions with Pastor Greg Alms here in the first half hour of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon, March the 22nd. We are coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After a conversation on Jesus amid distractions, Ken Ham, President, CEO, and founder of Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum, will be our guest. We're going to talk about the Smithsonian's Hall of Human Origins. They just opened it. Very expensive new display. It says it has the very latest evidence and artifacts in human evolution on display there in our nation's capital. Then in the second hour of the program, some audio open lines. My question for you on this day when virtually everyone is, well, thinking about healthcare, what lies ahead, and in particular after a milestone vote for the president and his party passing healthcare through the House and very soon through the Senate and then to the president's desk with an executive order that would restrict, at least it says it would restrict and keep in place all of the safeguards against federal funding for abortion, that was able to sway the votes of at least six pro-life Democrats. Are they really pro-life? Did they compromise? Did they give up? Who compromised on the issue of abortion and health care? Was it President Obama in signing this executive order, which has his pro-choice supporters very upset, by the way, or Congressman Bart Stupak and five other pro-life Democrats? I want your answer to that question coming up in the first part of the second hour of Issues, Etc., in about an hour here on this Monday afternoon. Then Dr. Gene Edward Veith will join us part three of a six-part series on Reformation Theology Today, the Hiddenness of God. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us with questions or comments at @IssuesETC. Pastor Greg Alms is a regular guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Touchstone magazine titled God Sideways. Greg, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Glad to be here.
You talk about that liturgical bubble that a pastor may be in on Sunday morning. What is that, and how is that different from the way the average person sitting in the pew experiences Sunday morning?
Well, for most pastors, Sunday morning, you know, is the high point, the center of their week. It's really what they spend a lot of their time during the week getting ready for and focusing on, and sermon and liturgy and prayers and anticipating the sacrament and everything that goes into it. So when they get there on Sunday morning, you know, they are, at least speaking from my own experience, you know, totally focused or mostly focused on the things you're responsible for, the preaching, the liturgy, and just really, you're aware, of course, of the congregation there and other things intrude occasionally, but, you know, this is really, what, you know, you are a pastor for, that hour, 2 hours there, delivering the gospel and leading the liturgy. So, you know, that liturgical bubble is real. And as contrasted with, you know, the person in the pew, and you mentioned in the little intro, you know, sitting with your wife, and our kids are getting older, but even so, you know, the few times, whether it's an evening service or something happening, and I would be in that pew, you know, as a wife or a father or anyone really, you know, you don't have the luxury of being totally focused. I mean, you've got to keep your hands on the kids. You've got to try to get them to focus on what's going on. You've got other people sitting next to you that you can't control. So, you know, it's a totally different experience as I've experienced it up front or down in the pew.
You write about your kind of childhood associations with the church, and they're not so much sitting in catechism class, the doctrinal content of these things, any particular message or sermon that you heard, or the theological content of the liturgy or hymns, but you remember things like I do. I remember being squeezed into pew with four, and then eventually with four of the brothers and the mom and dad in there too. I remember trying to stay awake, trying to distract myself. I remember the smell of candles burning still automatically takes me to, at least mentally, takes me to those childhood days. And occasionally some of the sights and sounds there as well. All, if you would, I mean, strictly speaking, distractions, aren't they?
Yes and no, right. I mean, it's very interesting, isn't it? I mean, the things that stick with us. And, you know, we Lutherans have a word for those things, adiaphora. I suppose those would all fall under that category, or distractions, as you say, as the article says. But, you know, we have a, you know, I think that's one reason why it's so valuable to bring kids into the worship service, into the liturgy, and to have them pay attention, and the memories you mentioned and the ones I mentioned in the article, the memories of family, memories of being there, and you know, those are powerful associations which, you know, in a human way, maybe not necessarily theologically, strictly speaking, but in a very powerful way, bind us to the church and to that experience, because they bury it deep into our personalities, you know. And, yeah, they are distractions. They're not, as I say in the article, strictly speaking, you know, moments of gospel or the word, but, you know, they kind of bind us to that experience and are always associated in our minds, so that they become a part of us in a deep way.
Okay, so how do we sort the distraction from what really is going on in Christian worship? Maybe really we should kind of outline that, if we could, with a few minutes before we take this break. What is God doing among his people on a Sunday morning when his word is being preached, when his sacraments are being administered?
Well, what he's doing is, and you're right to focus on what is really going on. In other words, God is delivering grace and mercy and the presence of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ through the means that he has ordained and that we know through his word are sure and certain. You know, preaching the word, absolution, baptism, sacrament, and so forth. And, you know, those are the avenues, and I sought to make clear in the article that the fact that that we experience the church service in a fallen sort of broken human way, no way. You know, subtracts from or says, you know, those things are somehow not important, or, you know, you can do what you want. No, God is present there and is coming to us really and truly in those means of grace, as we like to call them.
So there is an objective thing happening at God's end, being brought to us in truth. Does the fact that we are not always, fully engaged, if you will, seldom fully engaged on a Sunday morning, thwart what God is doing there? About a minute before we go to a break.
Right. Certainly not. This is another instance of what we call, you know, being, you know, grace alone. You know, God's word does its work. You know, our salvation doesn't depend on our ability to focus. We certainly seek to focus. We seek to focus our children. We seek to focus our congregation. On God's word and what He is doing and paying attention, receiving that word. But, you know, it doesn't depend on us. God's word does what it accomplishes, and we pray forgiveness for our wandering attention spans and praise God that He comes to us as He promises to do.
Pastor Greg Olms is our guest. 10 more minutes with him on the other side of this break this Monday afternoon, March the 22nd. We're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. So often we are distracted not only by things external, but things internal as well. Even our own concerns about whether or not we're really getting it, picking up on it, receiving it on Sunday morning can serve as that kind of a distraction. I'll be honest with you, on a Sunday morning when I stand and, say, preside at the Lord's Supper, I'm not necessarily thinking profound spiritual thoughts. I'm thinking, what do I need to do next? It's a very formatic kind of an event. I think that's probably true of many pastors. But does that mean it's not spiritual, that God isn't doing His divine work there? I'd like to know what kind of things distract you during worship, and I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. After 10 more minutes with Pastor Greg Olms, Ken Ham will join us. We'll talk about the opening of the Hall of Human Origins at the Smithsonian's National Museum of Natural History. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Monday afternoon, March the 22nd. We're talking with Pastor Greg Alms about Jesus amidst all of the distractions. And we bring them, don't we? We bring them with us. They're inside. They're outside. They're all around us on Sunday morning. But Jesus brings something, too, that cuts through the distractions, even if our minds, our hearts, our emotions are not always fully engaged. Well, we were talking about it in context of the historic liturgy, Pastor Alms, and someone might say, well, that's the problem with that formal, set, staid historic liturgy. It's so formal that it itself serves as a distraction. What we should do is cut loose, lay our heads back, and just let the Spirit lead us, and then the distractions will fall away, and then you'll really be worshiping. You'll really be getting the good stuff.
Well, my experience, just being for me, the times that I've experienced what we call or what is called contemporary worship with praise band and so forth, you know, out at front, you know, facing you with the singer and the band and so forth, and all of the rest of the trappings. You know, I'm not going to speak for anyone else, but, you know, I've been incredibly distracted because in a formal liturgical worship service, I find that everything is the whole intent of the service is to focus on Christ and his presence and his forgiveness and the message. Whereas in a contemporary service, you know, I'm thinking of how cute the singer is. I'm thinking about, you know, why, you know, they're dressed the way they are, you know, what's going to happen next. And you know, so I find the opposite to be true. I mean, I think the formalized liturgical habits and everything about liturgical worship tends to focus one on Christ and on the message and on the presence of Christ there in the center of that altar and in that word that's proclaimed.
So how can it be that if my mind or heart or emotions or however I want to frame it there is not fully engaged on Sunday morning, if those things are elsewhere, even momentarily, how can it be that what God is doing there by way of divine work on Sunday morning actually gets through and does what God wants it to do?
Well, we're talking about the Word of God, and we're talking about faith, which is a work of the Holy Spirit in us, which grasps that Word and grasps the gifts that are given. And while there, of course, is a certain intellectual component to that, understanding what is said and understanding the facts of what have happened for our salvation, what does happen. Yet, again, it is not pedagogical. It's not didactic entirely, or even mostly. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, not depending on our abilities or our attention spans, but on the Holy Spirit working through that Word as He has promised to do, and no matter our human weaknesses, that's precisely the point of the gospel. It's precisely the point of why we're there in church, as weak people who cannot do these things on our own. God comes to us in our weakness and serves us with that word, with those promises, and He does it, you know, by His grace and by His power.
You write that God doesn't provide us with these kind of naked spiritual experiences. It's always kind of messy business from our end because we're sinners, and that even the way He has saved us is reflected in this. How is that?
Well, you know, in that, you know, God became a human being among human beings, and Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, and entrusted His gospel to these apostles, wherein you read the four gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, and you see what messy people they were, and their attention spans were fractured, and they could barely put one foot in front of the other without you know, going off the track, and yet God uses them, and precisely to the apostles to preach that gospel, to found the church, and so forth. And you know, I appreciated what you said. You know, when you were saying about presiding at the altar as pastor, you know, we are distracted, certainly, thinking about what, you know, what are we going to do next? You know, are we doing this properly? And we're not focused often as pastors on, you know, the wonderful, incredible things that are happening. And yet God uses people. God became a human being in the midst of messy human beings. We're messy human beings. And yet God does his work in and through people like us to people like us, because he is a gracious God.
Well, there's no use in lying to each other. Any pastor who stood in front of a congregation and looked out for any more than about a minute and a half sees three or four people asleep, if not more,
yes,
depending on how warm it is in there.
Right.
Parents that are obviously needing to pay more attention to their kids than to what's going on in the chancel and things like that. Does God, in a sense, redeem the distractions? Can he incorporate these things in while his word does its work among us?
Certainly. And, you know, as pastors, it can be discouraging. You know, you're focused all week on this, and you know, you have this wonderful message you want to proclaim, and you know, you have this incredible liturgy and sacrament, and then you look out, and like you say, people are sleeping, people are doing everything but what, you know, maybe you think they should be doing. And yet God, you know, in that hour and a half, whatever time it is, binds his people together through his word, makes himself present, and, you know, in the midst of all that sort of glorious noise and distraction, you know, those miracles of forgiveness and grace occur over and over again.
There are many, you mentioned early in our conversation, children, and there are many nowadays, increasing number of people, who pastors, lay people included, who say, the kids are great, but, you know, they need to be seen and not heard. They're heard too much. They are too much of a distraction. Why don't we give the parents a break so that they can focus on worship? Let the kids go off to children's church or nursery or something like that so the grown-ups can get about their business without the distraction that children create for almost everyone there. What are your thoughts on that, Pastor Holmes?
Well, I think often that's a well-meaning thought. I think people want to, you know, people realize the importance of what's going on, but I think it's in the end not a helpful suggestion, precisely because of the way we began this conversation about these associations. And one of the blessings for children, first of all, is to be there with their family, and with the greater family of Christians, of brothers and sisters in Christ, experiencing, you know, and I find the greater, you know, the liturgical service with its sights, with its sounds, colors, smells, if you want to go that far, all of that stuff, you know, if parents can be alive to that, and kids will pay attention to that, and they will, those things, while not strictly speaking the gospel, are a wonderful teaching tool precisely for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a blessing for the older people around to have those kids there to see that the church goes on, the faith is being shared with another generation. And, you know, I find this urge to stratify the church and to break the church into heterogeneous groups, you know, is a wrong move, in my opinion. In other words, I can understand it's, you know, why people want to do this. I understand their, you know, motivations are often good. But, you know, all the glorious difference that's there in that church, that's the church, you know, and the saints in heaven together, children, old people, all different people together, worshiping together, that's, you know, that's a positive value all in itself.
Then with less than a minute, is everything we've been discussing here so far really a good argument for why the church ought to consciously not sound, look, smell, act like the world? I mean, in a church where they're imitating the world, I I might associate a light show and electric guitars and a drum kit with that, or with a concert, just regular old rock concert. The church looks and seems different. Is it a good argument for that? About 30 seconds.
Yes, I think precisely so. To create that holy space and those associations in your mind, I talk about the Bach preludes. I didn't know a Bach prelude from anything else, but you know, it's in your mind. Here is this space which is special. Special things happen here, and associating that with the God who is present among us, I think you're absolutely right.
Pastor Greg Alms is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Touchstone magazine titled God Sideways, on Jesus, on how Jesus comes amidst distraction. Greg, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
And thanks to Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and to Pastor David Peterson, also a regular guest here on Issues Etc. Redeemer in Fort Wayne is part of the Issues Etc. 300, a growing group of congregations that support Issues Etc. in their annual budget to the tune of $1,000 or more. Now, it's very likely that your congregation is facing a budget deadline. That is, time to set the budget, time to talk about what's going to be in the budget. This is the time to suggest to your congregation that they join the Issues Etc. 300 to get Issues Etc. in your congregation's mission or advertising budget, or wherever the congregation thinks that it belongs. A July 1 deadline is pretty common for a lot of congregations, and that's why you need to find out about the Issues Etc. 300 and ask your congregation. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and you'll find there a flyer that you can print off and take to your congregation when you ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. Issuesetc.org, click support. When we come back, we'll be talking about human origins at the Smithsonian with Ken Ham.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If you think your 12-year-old son is safe from those marketing sex, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. A Swiss condom company announced they've specially designed their product for young boys, 12 to 14. Their standard one was too large. The new product is called Hot Shot. The company says their research shows these young boys haven't developed the required knowledge for sex, nor do they understand the consequences of it. Well, duh. I've raised four boys and had a hard time getting them to chew with their mouths closed. At this age, it's ridiculous to try to teach them proper condom etiquette. If you love your children, you'll be teaching them abstinence until marriage. These companies are out to make a buck regardless of who they hurt in the process.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.